Episode 66, Rob. We're back.
We're back.
It's my catchphrase. I always have to say we're back.
We're back.
All right, what are we going to talk about today? I think you came up with an interesting idea.
Well, I watched last night that movie the Ben Affleck directed and produced. I think he directed it as well. I know he produced it. The Air.
Did he direct it?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I think he directed it. Okay. I know he produced it. I know the two of them.
But the dream team of both of those.
The dream team of
Gentlemen back together.
Affleck and Damon back together. I watched that movie.
Air. Yeah. What'd you think about it? Because I thought it was great.
I thought it was like a delicious.
It's like comfort food.
Trusty candy bar.
Oh, on the heels
of our exactly
last
what I'm going to get. Okay. And it's going to be delicious.
Yeah.
Was it a groundbreaking film? Absolutely not.
No.
Do we all kind of know the story? Sure.
Yeah.
But Matt Damon is an amazing actor, I think.
Sure.
And I thought he did a really great job. And yeah. I thought that there was a lot of fun, just throwback 80s.
Yeah.
You'd mentioned the soundtrack earlier.
The soundtrack was phenomenal. Yeah. Great soundtrack.
The soundtrack was good.
Yeah.
Not as good as the Beef soundtrack, though, I don't think.
The Beef soundtrack is strong. Very strong. Because it's so bizarrely 90s specific.
Yeah.
You know, it's in this weird little offshoot of the musical world. I don't know. Why is it that 90s?
Because it was so quirky. That's just another delicious quirky stew.
In a beef stew. Yeah. But they all tied so well into each individual episode, too. It was perfect. The title sequence was wacky every episode. That's a great show.
The only thing, if I had to come up not a complaint, but a negativity about the soundtrack is that it was all the obvious ones.
For Air. Yeah.
Like it was just the obvious ones.
Sure.
And it was great. I mean, it was all just 80s, you know.
Yeah, but there's no deep cuts on that one.
There's no deep cuts. And I like a good deep cut. Like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard.
Yeah, I agree.
That in whatever. I thought it was great. It was exactly what I needed it to be.
Yeah.
And sometimes when a film does that, it's perfect. It's great.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this about almost every single movie on the planet now, but it's too long. It was a good movie. And interesting, like, it's the middle-aged sales guy and whatever, you know, like from his perspective, right? But did that movie really need to be 2 hours long?
I'm trying to think where, without giving anything away, where they could have trimmed the fat on that.
I'm not an editor, so I have no idea, you know, but
I don't know. It didn't feel, it didn't feel overwhelmingly long to me. Yeah. But I thought it was really good. But anyway, it got me thinking about the idea of celebrity endorsements.
Okay. Yeah.
And, why we do them, what they mean, the effect that they can have on companies and brands and products, and are they worth it? And what, good, bad, I don't know, all the things. Clearly, I think you could say that was probably landing Michael Jordan was probably the most lucrative celebrity endorsement deal of all time.
Yeah.
I think so. I think they said that, spoiler alert, that they said that, that Jordan... still makes like $400 million a year
based on
that, just passive income based on the shoe deal alone.
Yeah, well, I think what's interesting, and we talked about it in the office, that obviously the deal doesn't become the deal without Michael Jordan living up to being Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, so talking about celebrity, endorsements and whatnot, obviously it has to be categorically relevant and there has to be a performance aspect to it, right? So Jordan goes on to be the great, well, that's true.
In this deal, yes.
Yeah, but I think because Jordan goes on to become the greatest basketball player, and I will say, I think he's better than LeBron, send me hate mail. I think he's the greatest basketball player ever.
I don't disagree with that.
I know, but there's always a generational gap.
There's that, or there's the idea that was he the greatest competitor ever? I mean, just as from a sheer just, I am the world's most amazing competitor.
I think he won like 24 or 25 of his last like 27 playoff series, when he got into the playoffs with the Bulls, right? I mean, I think... he is an unbelievable competitor for sure. Is he the greatest athlete? I don't know. I would say Bo Jackson was probably the greatest athlete I've ever seen.
That's a great documentary.
But I think fantastic 30 for 30. Yeah. But I think that Jordan is the greatest basketball player that I've ever seen for sure. And I think he's better than Kobe. I think he's better than LeBron. I think he's better. He was absolutely incredible.
The thing about it was also too that he wasn't, it's not like he, I mean, some of these guys now are just so massive. Like he wasn't a massive, massive dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and who else is taking off from the foul line?
Yeah, it was crazy. Dr. J.
Flying.
But I think, where I was going with this, I think was that Jordan held up his end of the deal, of course, becoming the greatest ever, right? to the point where I think, and we've talked about Nike in the past, right? And Nike not necessarily selling shoes. I mean, they sell the spirit of competition. They sell you being the best you, empowering, you know, performance, right, through their equipment or whatever the case may be, right? But, you know, I think what's interesting is that, and you mentioned he still generates $400 million a year because it has transcended from Air Jordan, obviously, to Jumpman, right? And if you think about it, Jumpman as its own brand, tying into his competitive nature and his winning philosophy, has jumped, you know, pun intended, away from basketball as well. I mean, you see college athletics and you see teams, you know, they don't even have the Nike logo on it. It has the Jumpman. It's like, oh, I think maybe it's Michigan. There's some team out there where it's like, oh, the entire football uniform is Jumpman. It's not even Nike. And it's like, Jordan didn't even play football.
Right.
I mean, so that's very interesting if you think about just the power of the brand sort of evolving over the last 20 years, right? And what they're doing with it. Fantastic stuff, I think.
Then you have also, like, I would say, I don't know if it's on the opposite end of the spectrum or not, but I read a thing the other day that I know your theatrical hero, Johnny Depp, just signed a deal to be the celebrity endorser of...
Is it a...
It's a Dior... I think it's Dior cologne.
And okay. It
was $20 million for 3 years.
What?
$20 million for 3 years.
Wow. And to smell like Johnny Depp.
To smell like Johnny Depp. Now, and remind you, and this is more of an interesting, just I think, you know, where we are as a society. I mean, a year ago, he was on trial for like assault and very bad things. Bad things were happening. And if that had gone, you know, and that clearly went his way in the public eye. And so he came out looking like a hero and now has a $20 million endorsement deal and all of these things. And I guess because he was on tour with, is it Jeff Beck? I think.
I don't have no idea.
So he plays guitar.
He does? Yeah. I don't even know that.
Yeah. He was in that.
He's one of the actors that wants to be a musician.
Yeah. But he's been in a band. I think they're called Hollywood Vampires. You can fact check that for me. Okay. I believe it's Hollywood Vampires. Anyway, he's been on tour with Jeff Beck and goes out and plays with Jeff Beck.
So random.
So Dior got wind of that. They did this crazy photo shoot with him with a guitar and they're just using those shots for the ads. So, I mean, what else do you have to do for, you know?
I mean, is that a good use of 20 mil a year? I mean, does that help sell Dior fragrance around the world? I mean, they wouldn't do it if it didn't work.
They wouldn't do it if they didn't hedge their bets pretty hard on it.
Yeah.
And so why does it work? Let's think about why something like that makes sense. It makes sense because, you know, Johnny Depp, I don't know what his influence or social media following is, but presumably it's in the...
High.
It's very, very, very high.
More than mine.
It's more than yours and mine combined, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Probably, yeah.
But you do that because you hope that humans are going to relate and be influenced by the people that they look up to.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. An obvious... Yeah. Obvious answer, but that's pretty insane to think about it. To me, it's more insane to think about the fact that a year ago, I mean, that's what we do to our heroes. We beat about knocking down.
Of course.
And that idea that a year ago he was not being seen in a favorable light and now we're rewarding him with, I don't know if he did anything or not. I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Of course he did not. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. And then if you think about that part of it and human behavior, you know, you're putting a lot of faith when you do a celebrity endorsement. In my opinion, you're putting a lot of faith in humanity and specifically in a single person.
Yeah, the behavior of that person.
The behavior of that person.
Yeah, and almost not only just that person, but the sphere of influence around that person. Because even we're so sensitive now about everything.
Yeah.
And everything is under the microphone. Microphone?
I followed.
Yeah, everything's under the microscope, right? To where even if someone in your inner circle does something that isn't looked favorably upon, right? Bad things are then cast on you.
I've got two words for you.
Okay.
Jared Fogle.
Jared Fogle. Yeah, that's a bad... Yeah,
when celebrity endorsements go
that's a
bad.
Good, yeah, that is a good one.
Now,
that
he a became one. A solicitor for Subway sandwiches back... Yeah. I don't know how many years ago that was.
A decade ago. Yeah.
Jared Fogle, for those who don't remember, but I'm sure you do, was the guy who presumably lost all this weight eating nothing but Subway sandwiches.
Yeah, he was a large and in charge man.
Right.
And then he decided, hey, I need to lose some weight. I'm going to eat a 6-inch cold cut combo every day.
Every day.
For the next 6 months. And he shed like 200 pounds or whatever. And it was the whole like, you know, you can still have fast food, right?
Right.
But unlike McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and everybody else, look at him. he ate at our restaurants all the time. And right. and his whole thing, I think, was he was holding up the pants. Right? Yeah. He was holding up the big pair of jeans. Yeah. And it was like, hey, make a healthier choice. Eat at Subway. Eat fresh.
And I think one could argue that unlike Jordan has a talent and was used to being a celebrity.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now they rolled the dice because he wasn't a celebrity at the time. He was becoming one.
Correct, correct.
But an amazing athlete,
yeah.
Superb talent. One could argue that Johnny Depp has a superb talent.
Sure.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Sure.
He's a great actor.
Yeah.
What's eating Gilbert Grape?
Edward Scissorhands.
and the list goes on.
Yeah.
Right? So those type of people, and even the Kardashians or people like that, they're used to being a celebrity.
Yeah, they're used to having an image.
They're used to having an image, and they're very image conscious and whatever else. You could argue that Jared Fogle became a celebrity because of this random...
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, he did bad things. For those who don't remember, he was caught. There was child molestation charges, I think.
And bad things were happening.
Bad things. And I think he's in prison still.
I really don't know where that story ended, to be totally honest. But yeah, I mean, he's out. Point being is... Yeah. That is a celebrity. I guess he became a celebrity because of his trait of losing weight,
right?
And then Subway kind of made him a celebrity.
Correct.
And then it was, we can no longer endorse the behavior of our friend Jared. He's out, right?
Well.
Hard pivot, to something else quickly.
And look at recently and maybe here's us, if we think about the damage that can be done when celebrities or whomever, endorsements.
Yeah. Endorsements gone wrong.
Gone wrong, and this isn't a gone right or gone wrong. I think this is more of a company position, but Bud Light, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about topical situations.
Sure, sure.
We reached out to the Instagram influencer, and then massive, massive backlash.
Yeah.
And did they handle that the right way? I don't know. That's up to anybody to decide. However, the effect that, at least according to the media, it's had to their overall bottom line has been incredible.
Yeah, pretty catastrophic.
Pretty devastating. Yeah. And I think part of that is because they have been rudderless in their response and they don't know, it feels like they're up in arms and don't know what to do.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It seems like it was just la, 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 let's wait for it to blow over.
Yeah.
But then it was, they've now successfully made everyone angry because it was
like,
it was okay. We angered this core audience over here by aligning with an influencer. Then we have said, we're no longer going to work with that influencer. So now you're upsetting that whole crowd on that side. Right. So
just like their beer,
their
response was watered down.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun.
I love it. Well, yeah. I mean, the Jordan thing too, I mean, to your point about being used to being in the spotlight is interesting because as he grew, his endorsements grew. And I think that was a benefit to everyone. So you talk about Johnny Depp, he's got the one with Dior, right? Well, we've got the Nike aspect and all the athletics, but then we had Gatorade. I want to be like Mike and all that positive influence and him with little kids and doing all this amazing things, right?
Yeah.
And putting healthy things in your body, even though Gatorade probably isn't healthy. But that song, that audio, sort of thought surrounding, that obviously has a halo effect into Nike and into everything else, right? I mean, he truly became a brand ambassador for all these different companies. You know, I think about another basketball guy. I think about Shaq in that respect too. I mean, that guy's on everything, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm selling like discount insurance, right? The general.
Yeah.
I've got Icy Hot. Oh, I've got pain on my back. Icy Hot, right? I make pizzas, right? He's doing pizzas.
Yeah.
He was doing crypto, although now he keeps ducking and dodging his subpoena or whatever because he's trying to be, So there's potentially but it was.
He also owns Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, he owns Krispy Kreme. Yeah.
It's just crazy.
So, not the same in regards to two or three core high profile halo effect, endorsement deals, right? Like a Jordan, but Shaq just a marketing machine, right? I mean, and I don't know if he takes a piece of these companies or gets a little equity share or does different things, but I mean, the guy is all over the place doing different things.
I mean, think about also too, like Tiger Woods, shifting gears for a second.
Yeah. Wow. We got a lot of athletes.
I know. But Tiger Woods, right? I mean, arguably.
The greatest golfer?
Well, I would say definitely the greatest golfer. Well.
Jack Nicklaus?
I don't know about that. That's a tough one.
Arnold Palmer?
I would say, probably the greatest pressure golfer.
Okay. Well,
just a performance under pressure.
Yeah. Nerves of steel.
Yeah. Human highlight reel.
Yeah.
But again, we as a society, it's interesting. He was powerful enough in his celebrity that when he had his his bad spell,
yeah,
if you want to call it that.
Sure, sure.
Was in all kinds of hot water and trouble. And
a bunch of people did drop him, right?
A bunch of people did drop him. But, I mean, his biggest deals. I mean, Nike.
They stuck with him, right?
Yeah. Everybody stuck with him for the most part. The smaller ones fell away. I don't know if Buick, that was a big one for him. I don't know if that fell away or not. I think it did.
I feel like it fell away because he was doing Hyundai, I feel like, at some point. He did get a car back. Or he was driving. Or what was the car he was in when he got in the accident and broke his leg, whatever?
I don't know if he was in a Buick.
I don't think it was a Buick. I think that might have had to do with the car at the event itself. Maybe it wasn't a sponsorship car or something. Right. But I don't know. You're more of the golf fan than I am, that's for sure.
Right. So,
any celebrity? I've got an interesting one I thought about that I wrote down that I don't know if it's a celebrity endorsement gone wrong or not, but it is an interesting story about. Be careful about what you get in bed. Okay. You got to travel back in time. Well, speaking of Jordan, the Dream Team, actually travel back in time to the 92 Olympics. Do you remember Reebok did a campaign, Dan and Dave, going to the Olympics?
Oh, gosh.
Do you remember that? I mean, this is old. I mean, I'm dating myself. There was the one guy, they were both decathletes. Decathletes? Is that?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was, hey, they were America's superstar track and field, you know, guys. And it was, hey, we're going to the Olympics. And Reebok built an entire campaign. One guy was wearing all blue and one guy was wearing all red.
Okay.
And it was, and they had the cool sunglasses and it was all about Dan and Dave, right?
Okay.
Well, they didn't qualify out of the US trials.
Ruh-roh.
Right. So, I mean, so is it a celebrity endorsement? I don't know. But they put all their eggs into this, you know, athletic basket.
Yeah.
And then it's the opposite of Jordan, right? The guys did not compete.
Didn't pan out.
They did not win. They did not do whatever. And then it was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, we've got 2 weeks of the Olympics here. We've got all of our ads in the can, and it didn't really work out, which I found interesting, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to think about how companies measure the success of these things too, right? Because it can't always, I mean, and that's kind of like, comes back to marketing and advertising in general. To a certain degree, you're taking a calculated risk.
Oh, right? For sure, for sure.
And the idea that, okay, I'm going to go, you know, pay, I don't know, Pete Davidson, you know, $150,000 for one Instagram post on something.
Yeah.
Can I directly tie that to my bottom line? No, probably not.
Probably not.
So there is a
I mean, you can vanity URL, you can coupon code, you can, I mean, there are some metrics you can follow, but
clearly we have more tracking capabilities than we used to just because digital is digital. But by the same token, I don't think you can truly quantify that with 100% accuracy. I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
It was the idea that thinking about how companies
they have to put faith in
those results. And you know, we see this here from time to time. Clients will ask us sometimes, hey, well, if I spend this, what am I going to get? And that's a difficult question to answer. And I think I've said a few times a lot in passing, hey, if advertising were a magic bullet, we'd be sitting on an island somewhere.
We wouldn't be doing this anymore.
And I think because
there'd also be no stock market anymore if advertising was a guaranteed thing.
Right. Creativity is subjective.
Yeah, for sure.
At the end of the day. So you can do all the testing and all of the quantitative, you know, research up front that you want to do. But there is a leap of faith in some of the things that you do.
Absolutely.
Down to what we do. But yeah, I don't know. Celebrity endorsements. It's a crazy world. There's a lot of money spent on it. Big dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for some industries, it's a no-brainer. Fashion, as you mentioned, jewelry.
Sports,
you know, those aspirational aspect. Mm-hmm. Luxury, it always makes sense, you know. And then any type of aspirational good, you know. Just to circle back around to car insurance and Shaq, does he help sell? I don't know. I think that for a lesser-known brand, potentially aligning with someone that does have your values or does have wide mass appeal, then it makes sense. Also, I think niche, endorsements make sense. So for example, if you're a video game company and you align yourself with Ninja, right? The greatest, Fortnite player ever.
It's going to elevate your brand into the conversation.
Yeah. Then that makes sense, you know? I think, you know, pick and choose your battles wisely. But, you know, it is a lot of emphasis to put into one singular individual, and you better have everything locked down. You know, I mean, even, you mentioned Tiger Woods. I mean, no one would have ever guessed Tiger Woods ever would have had any type of bruising or blemishing, right?
Right.
So squeaky clean, right? But, hey, we're all people. We're all humans. Right. Things happen, you know? So it's definitely an interesting thing to think about.
Yep.
You know? All right. Maybe we should wrap it up on that note, right?
Let's wrap it up on that note.
All right. Where can the people find us, Mr. Rob?
You can find us on the internet at the worldwideweb.mocktheagency.com. Or you can find us on the socials at Mock the Agency, of course. And feel free to drop us a line. We'd love to hear some topic ideas from you.
Yeah.
And just general feedback. And we will talk to you next time.
Cool. Thanks, everybody.